Here's how we're going to do this. I'm going to talk about anxiety. Look at that very non-detailed handout I gave you, front page. Here's the deal. I had this handout in my mind, and it would have been 20 pages. I thought, really? Make them do some work. So I just kind of put a little synopsis on the front. And you do have blank paper in there. If you're a detail note taker, I'm sorry, that's going to drive you nuts. I just put one page of notebook paper, and I put one page of blank paper. That's for things I put here. But I do want to tell you, and I'm a little bit embarrassed about this. I don't know any other way to get around it. I did bring a book that I wrote. It's a count. When I did my doctorate, when they said, do a dissertation, I went, oh, please, no. Oh, please, no. Those are dumb. I mean, and I'm old. And this was just last January of 17 when I finished my doctorate. I said, I need to live intentionally. And if I'm going to type 180 pages, that's how long a dissertation is typed. I thought, who's going to read that? And I will have spent a year doing that for a couple of professors to read and give a grade, and that will help nobody. So I came up with this idea. It was a God idea. I went to them. It was the dissertation meeting where you're supposed to present all the ideas and they have to approve and give you the big head nod. And I came in there and they said, what are your ideas? I said, I don't have any. I said, but except for this one. I said, can I write a book instead? They said, well, about what? Everything. They said, oh, that'll be good. Go ahead. No, I said, here's the deal. This was my 19th year of counseling. This is my 20th. I said, all over the years, God has given me these little visual ideas, and I've used them in the counseling session now for all these years, and I've kept them in a little book. Can I make a book of those with scriptures and explanations? And they said, how many do you think you have? I said, probably about 35, maybe 40. They said, well, bring us some examples. So I did that, and they went, well, okay. And they said, yep, you know what, go ahead. And I thought, oh, good, something intentional that people can use that I might could help somebody with as a dissertation. Turns out I had 64. So anyway, that book is 64 drawings. You'll see about six of them today. I am not an artist. Let's just get that over with right now. You're going to say, seriously, woman? My second grader could, I know. But that's the way it is. I can only give you what I got. So I'm not an artist. This is pathetic. But anyway, this is what the book is. And I'm really not trying to sell books. What I'm trying to do is put truth in people's hands. But you got to pay for the book. Okay. I don't know what he has. Yes, they ain't free. There it is again, ain't. So when I get to that part, here's why I said all that. When I start drawing, y'all, if you want to buy the book, you can. Don't even need to take them down because they're all in the book. So that's the point. Okay, so we'll talk about the books at the end. Anyway, I just wanted to, let's just get down to it. Anxiety, yuck. 29%. Of people suffer with some kind of anxiety disorder in their lifetime. But notice I said disorder. I had anxiety big time. My legs were shaking when I was standing over there. That's a stress reaction, you know, but I wasn't having an anxiety disorder. That's when it interrupts your life and gets tough and it's ongoing and it gets in the way of things. But here's a sort of a definition of anxiety. You could look in 20 different places and get 20 different definitions. They all kind of say the same thing, but here's just what I put down. Wait a minute. Distress, it's like a distress or an uneasiness of the mind. No kidding. Caused by fear or danger or disappointment. It's a state of apprehension. But you know, that all of you at one point or another have had some anxiety, even if it's the type I'm talking about I had before I, in my mind, threw a rock at the enemy. And I really did. I'm not shaking now. This is good. Thank you, Lord. You can have medical, like biological, physical symptoms, and we'll talk about those, or you can have psychological. Some people just have one or the other. I sometimes have a little physical, like I was having over there, but my mind was okay. But sometimes the mind, bless your hearts, it'll attack. And of course, it's usually lies. Anxiety often occurs because the brain is unable, it's not your fault, the brain is unable to properly produce and regulate two very important neurotransmitters, GABA, or serotonin. I know a lot of you have heard a lot about serotonin. It's a very important brain neurotransmitter. Basically, stress level hormones become elevated in your brain. Hormones, women, it tickles me, they go, gosh, my hormones are messed up. I go, well, point right here. They live here. They affect stuff down here, but they live right here. Hormones are a brain chemical, okay? Have y'all ever thought about that? What's the first place you think of in your body when you think hormone? Down in helping, down in here. It's right here. They are a brain chemical. So stress level hormones become elevated for any number of reasons in the brain at times the brain's unable to produce the proper amounts of GABA and serotonin. Therefore, you have all those reactions you have, whether it's the heart feels like it's speeding up, or you have a little trouble breathing straight. It's all kinds of things: trembling, sweating, hot, cold, nausea, headache, just all kinds of things. There's just all kinds of physical reactions. We're still going to look at those again. Some possible causes of anxiety: excess stress, like speaking in front of 200 ladies will do it to you. Poor diet. My goodness gracious, what your intake, what you're putting in here that you were not designed to take in, and what was not designed to go in there. Mm-mm. I didn't mean to look at you, lady. I'm sorry. No. I could really honestly hardly see you guys because of the lights. So poor diet can be a factor. I'm not saying it's the major cause. Genetics. Thanks, Grandma. You know, genetics can absolutely do it, be a part of it. Dysregulating circumstances. I mean, goodness gracious. I'm going to tell you one. A traumatic event. Now, they're very subjective. Some people have tremendous, like, oh my goodness, tragic story, and they don't end up with trauma. And others, it marks them for life. So different people have different results, and they can result in ongoing aversions and fears. Here's one of my, I had a traumatic event. If you'd known me for years, you'd know that's my middle name. But here's one of them. I was a single mom. My husband took off. We'd been married 9 years. Only guy I'd ever dated. That's another talk. Anyway, it's pathetic. Pregnant with my third child, he goes, I don't want to do this anymore. He was washing the car. I thought he meant wash the car. I said, I'll finish it for you. And he walked off. He said, no, this. So I did the single mom thing for 6 years. Somebody, I sure didn't have the money for it, paid for us to fly from Atlanta to Memphis. They lived in Tupelo, Mississippi. That's not too far. Tupelo, Memphis. You don't fly into Tupelo. So we flew to Memphis. There was a little bitty plane, an 18-seater. You didn't fly the big planes from Atlanta. I don't know why. So we got on this thing, and this little bitty, and in fact, it's such a little plane. I've never been on anything like that. There's just a curtain between you and the pilot. This little curtain. Well, ladies, lo and behold, do y'all know what a wind shear is? You ever heard of a wind shear? Oh, I hate that. My stomach just went, just saying that. We got in one, and the pilot said, I'm sorry, there's nothing I can do. That plane's going down. And I mean, so fast. And my 4 and 5-year-old were sitting in two seats, and I'm holding the baby. This is it. We're done. And I can see the roofs of houses coming really, really fast. The curtain on the plane, we are upside down and going down very fast. There's no control whatsoever. And my 4 and 5-year-old looked through the crack between the seats and went, Mommy, I can still see it. I said, it's okay, because I knew we were going to go together. Well, that plane gets down and goes, and took off. And the curtain went back the way the curtain. In other words, we are going the right direction now, right when we got down to the bottom. Folks, that was a traumatic event. I now had flying phobia. I did not fly for 15 years after that. And when I say traumatic event, I now had the type of anxiety over one specific thing. And that's how that can happen, traumatic event. You've all probably had a type of, not everybody has that response to a traumatic event, but this girl wasn't flying again. Let me tell you how God broke it. I didn't even try to pray over it. I just ain't doing it. Well, I'm speaking at a ladies' conference. I got hired or asked or whatever to speak at a ladies' conference in Fort Wayne, Indiana, my brother's church, so you can see how that happened. My brother's pastor. And I had all planned out. I'm going to drive up there, of course. Who's flying, right? So I'm going to, why do I keep saying ain't? Calm down. Anyway, because I really don't say it that much. But I'm going to drive up there. I'm going to spend a couple extra days with my brother. It's all worked out. They sent me airline ticket. Uh-oh. I didn't know they were going to do that. Well, and I'm speaking on strength and faith. I can't use this. I'm too scared to fly. Oh, no. You're flying. No, I'm not. Yes, you are. No, I'm not. Yes, you are. He won. My husband drove me to the airport. He did, and he sat with me till the plane. A giant storm came into Atlanta that day, and it was in a part of the airport I never normally see. I guess it's where you get the little planes. And it was raining so hard, and the thunder and lightning, it crashed. Water was coming under the door at the airport, and this man had those big giant squeegees and was swishing the water back out. And I'm going to fly in that. This ain't funny. Oh, there it is again. This is not funny. I do have an education. So, and my husband says, sweetie, they had to keep delaying the flight 3 hours late because you can't fly. It was that bad. My husband says, sweetie, I have a meeting. I can't stay any longer. So he had to leave me there. God was really testing this thing. So I had to have a little revival meeting. And finally, I'm on that plane, and I am so grateful. This was sweet. I had the last seat in the plane. I didn't want anybody to see me acting like the way I was acting, like that. And so I just white-knuckling it, and this is what happened. It was as the Lord said, listen, we're going to do business right now. I got you where I want you, on the seat of a plane. By the way, it's called exposure therapy, where he makes you face the very thing you have no intention of facing. I love exposure therapy. I use it quite a bit. If the person gives me the green light to do so. I don't force it on anybody. But I'm sitting on the last seat of that airplane, and it was like, look, the engine's running. And by the way, the lightning and thunder and that plane's rocking back and forth, sitting on the runway. I was like, oh no, oh no, this time it's really going to crash this time. He said, listen, do you really believe I am who I say I am? Yes or no, right now, make up your mind. Do you really believe I am who I say I am? Yes. Say it louder. Yes. Well, then shape up. And that plane took off. As you can see, I made it. That plane took off. And when we got up there over Indiana, out of that storm and all, and it is not a very long flight, I saw things that I never dreamed. There's these beautiful farms. It was fall. And those trees around those farms in every color. And I love fall. I would never, and I just remember going, oh my goodness, how beautiful. What a gift. It was just great. Landed fine. Brother met me. Very patient brother. Waited 3 extra hours in that airport for me. When I got there, this is too cool. There's a few things I just love that nobody would know I love unless I told them. Don't send me a bunch of these now. I'm going to tell you. Violets. I love violets. And I love turtles. Not that little green kind. I love the kind you put in your mouth. They're nuts, like pecans with caramel and chocolate. I love those. Violets and those turtles, that's what they're called. I walk into that seminar, and this little elderly lady walked up to me and said, I want to bring you something. Thank you so much for coming. She handed me a violet and a box of turtles. Oh, my goodness. It was the Lord saying, good girl for getting on that plane. I thought of every detail for you. It was just so sweet. He takes care of everything. But that was my point about anxiety. You could not have a minute of anxiety in your whole life and all of a sudden, rip. And Satan loves that. And don't be ashamed of yourself. I wasn't actually terribly ashamed of it. Or was I? I don't know. It was uncomfortable. I hated it. My husband wanted us to fly to Italy. You're going to take some other woman because I'm not going. We haven't gone yet, but we hope to. And I'll go. I've flown a bunch since then. It's okay. But just say that to help you relate. But exposure therapy, do you know, it sort of speaks for itself what that means. Face that fear. Don't keep moving away from it. Say, you know what, God? I do trust you. Don't trust yourself. You'll never get there. But you trust him. Move toward that thing. And maybe you need to do it in baby steps. Maybe I needed to go to the airport and just go, ooh, and go back home. And then go again and get closer. I don't know. But I just got exposed all in one whack and there it went. Unfortunately, anxiety can worsen if not treated well, and as necessary, brain chemicals can actually deplete. It's very important to take care of these things. So your brain the GABA and the serotonin can actually deplete even further and things can get worse. Another thing about anxiety, it can just seem to come out of nowhere and you don't seem to have a cause. I have a friend that's a nurse, and this was 10 years ago, so when she was 55, she'd been in nursing. She knows the medical stuff and very strong believer. She walked up to me at church and said, listen, I need to talk to you. I think I'm having anxiety. She said, but I don't have that. I said, well, come talk to me. So she made an appointment. She came in and talked. She told me about it. It was awful. She would have moments and hours at a time going, She was like having panic attack type. I mean, bad. And then her heart rate's up, and she had trouble thinking straight. And like, what's the matter with me? And she was thinking she's going to have to quit nursing and just crawl under the bed and stay there. And I said, I don't think that's the answer. I'm pretty sure it's not. So we worked, and no traumatic event, no genetics that she knew of, nothing. This thing just went boom. We don't know why. 3 weeks later, it was gone. But she had 3 weeks of and that was scaring her to death. So you can have anxiety about your anxiety. And I bet some of you know that. I bet you do. But I just wanted you to know you don't have to have a traumatic event. It doesn't have to be genetics. It can just come and slap the fire out of you and stay or leave. But there are answers. Let's look at some anxiety symptoms. These are typical anxiety symptoms. Looping thoughts. This is the one, I know I'm going to stop and talk about every one of these, but this one, I call it, that's my term, looping thoughts. That's where some thought comes in that's making you miserable, worry, dread, whatever. What if? And it just goes round and round and round. You can't make it shut up. I call them looping thoughts. So that worry and that dread goes in there. Fixation on certain outcomes. Like, what if it doesn't, what if this happened? What if that happened? What if this? Just kind of being stuck on something in the future there. Insomnia. Ooh, that's ugly. Increased heart rate. You know, flutters. By the way, your heart's not actually fluttering. I want you to know that. Your valves are not kind of deciding to work funny. Your heart's okay. But it's hard to tell that it is. Heart pounding. Shortness of breath. It often goes with that. Sweating. Trembling and shaking. Irrational fears that just won't let up. A sudden spike of fear out of nowhere. Or some people get very afraid, but they're not actually afraid of anything. They tell me they just feel very afraid, but I go, afraid of what? And they go, oh, I don't know. That's normal. I'm letting you know this is all very normal. I see, and I've seen already a bunch of heads nodding. You're getting this, and because you relate, you know, or you have it, or you know someone. Upset stomach, nausea. And I hope nobody grosses out over this word. I have some people that have a phobia of this word. I'm sorry. Even to the point of vomiting sometimes. People's anxiety can get so bad they'll throw up. I have a lot of children. I work with a lot of children with anxiety, and that happens frequently. Loss of appetite. Crying, confusion, difficulty concentrating, problems with decision making, headaches, muscle tensions, aches and pains. I have one kind. When I get stressed, I get this band of pain across my back, and then when I'm unstressed, it goes away. But I mean, it's a big pain. I mean, it's kind of pain that if it stayed, you'd go to a doctor for it. It's severe, and it's like that's amazing that tension can do that to your body. This is amazing to me. Fatigue, irritability. Getting startled real easily, being kind of on edge, and then feeling anxious about being anxious. Because I have people that tell me, I'm so anxious, it's going to come back. I say, well, it's here now. But it's on a different topic, and bless their hearts. So 29% of Americans are affected at some point or another with an anxiety disorder. Here's a neat statistic. 17% of the people that go to emergency rooms in the United States every year thinking they're having a heart attack are having a panic attack. So now, tonight, if you have one of those, don't go, that's probably a panic attack, and die at home, because I told you that. And panic attack will not kill you. I just want you to know that, but a heart attack will. So if you're not sure, go ahead, get it checked out. Okay, I don't want anybody saying, well, that lady said. No, they don't find that out till they get there, okay? And I'd rather you be embarrassed than dead. So anxiety can be very future-oriented. It can be a response to perceived unpredictability. Now, let me ask you something. Is there such a thing, remember that perceived unpredictability, is there any such thing as a moment that's out of control? Now, think about that. I asked my husband, and I'll tell you what he said. Well, he said, yes, there are moments that are out of control. I said, au contraire. He loves it when I speak French. No, or whatever language that was. Is that, I don't know what language that was. Anyway, it's like, uh-uh. So in my opinion, there's no such thing as a moment that's out of control. Or sovereignty is not sovereign. Okay, good. I just want to see if we're on the same page. So when I pulled the big theology thing, he said, oh, I knew you were going to do that. He said, yeah, I wasn't talking about that kind. I said, well, I'm only and always talking about that kind. And he's a strong believer. He just was thinking about the regular stuff that does feel out of control. Panic attack feels out of control. But it's not. is really not. So if you have panic attacks, try to tell yourself, it'll pass. It'll pass. I'm going to live. It's under control. There's no such thing as something being out of control. So that response, anxiety being a response to perceived unpredictability, don't worry. There's an answer. Somebody's already predicted it. We know his name. He is the king. Throw a rock, throw a flame, throw something at the enemy and know that you're going to be okay. Another big thing is people get stuck. Now, most of the books and stuff I read say that anxiety is about future. I go, well, who wrote that? I got tons of people are hung on stuff from the past, and they're anxious about it. What are they going to think of me? Like, if I had that kind of anxiety, when I leave here today, I would think, did I do it good? Did I do it good? Did I say this? Did I hurt anybody's feelings? Wonder what they think of me? Did they like my dress? Oh, who cares? That doesn't sound good. And you just do it. You know what? I keep thinking I have a hole in my dress because this is the color of skin. And I keep looking over here thinking, this is funny. I do. I keep thinking I have a hole. When you get up here, look at you. You're fine. Your clothes are awesome. So, but I do. I keep thinking of, well, Robbie, that shoulder. I don't wear that shouldery stuff because I'm too old for that. So I do keep thinking, what the hell is wrong with your dress? Anyway, and they made me take my earrings off. I feel kind of naked in front of you guys. Anyway, stuck about the past. People, the past is the past. We don't drive looking out the rearview window. We drive looking out the windshield. Let's live that way too. Let's go forward. And if you're worried about stuff moving forward, there's not a moment that's out of control. I just want you to work on remembering that. Another book I read said that anxiety focuses a person. I thought, well, baloney. And I know what it meant. They say that anxiety is a gift. I don't much care for it. But they mean, and I wouldn't use the word anxiety on that stuff. It's the thing that makes you to remember to pay your bills. It's the thing that makes you to remember to get everything on your grocery list, whether you wrote it down. I don't call that anxiety. I don't know what, it's, you know, being like on things, okay, but anxiety to me is a negative term. So you may see something that talks about how anxiety is such a gift and so good for you. Whatever. We need to find another word for that stuff. Now, some people have what's called GAD, generalized anxiety disorder. Like that thing I had over there wasn't a disorder. Generalized anxiety disorder is something that you actually have in your life, and it's ongoing. You have a disorder. I have a disorder. I have migraine headaches. I've had them since I was 12, and I have them big and ugly and long, and they said I'm going to grow out of them. Apparently not. And I'm even shorter now than when they told me that. I'm not growing in the right direction, so I don't believe I'm going to outgrow them. I do have a migraine disorder. If I only had one migraine ever, well, you wouldn't say that. People that have generalized anxiety disorder, it's just a general anxiousness. Both it can be physical and mental, and it's just a part of their life. And I hope that something today, if you have that, you get some tools to help you manage it, to help you live with it. I hope it goes away. But it might not. It just might not. But someday it will. Yeah, someday it will. Amen. I'm teaching the Bible study right now in heaven. Ooh, I can hardly stand myself. If you think I get excited doing this, you ought to be in the room when me and 25 women are talking about heaven together. This is awesome. Some types of anxiety. Or where it comes from, the genetic type. They all can feel the same, by the way. These aren't going to feel any different. Some are from genetics, heredity. Some is from your environment, like, you know, planes going down, things like that. Or you can have, like, social anxiety. And you just, that's about your environment. That's like, I don't want to go be in this crowd. Some of you may have been anxious coming here because there's a lot of people you don't know here. But, you know, just all kinds of, some people will absolutely avoid going to restaurants, going to concerts, even going to church because of crowds, social anxiety, just because there's too many people there. That's very normal. It's very common. That's one of my most common that I work with is social anxiety. But anxiety, I can hear a new anxiety next week because you can have anxiety over, I had a lady that wouldn't come because it was raining. She was scared of rain. She had a rain phobia. And I wondered if maybe some horrible had happened, a bad accident or something in the rain. Had another lady scared of plastic bags. Why? She couldn't figure it out. This was so sad. She was a little older than me. She said she had, as we talked, and I said, has anything ever bad happened with you in a plastic bag? Which sounded like a silly question. But in my work, there are no silly questions. I don't take anything for granted. And she said, no, I can't figure it out. All of a sudden, they almost made me want to throw up. And at the grocery store, she just took, you know, you can take your own thing. She said that she couldn't even look at plastic bags. You know what? Bless her heart. Something so horrible had happened, she'd blocked it out. She came home from work one day, and her husband had put a plastic bag over his head and killed himself, suffocated him. And she could not figure out why she was scared of plastic bags. You might think, well, what? She wasn't too bright. Yes, she was. She was in so much trauma. Her brain wouldn't even let her go over there to figure it out. Isn't the enemy a jerk? And there's a lot of jerk in that story, isn't there? Okay, physical symptoms and psychological symptoms. I do want to show you something. Let's take a look at a very basic truth. I assume that you'll see black the best, so let's go with that. This is just real important for, if I didn't draw or put anything else up here, this covers all of it, but it's just a basic. Now, is that little stand in any, oh wait, they're going to be up there. So no, my stand is not in the way. This stands for beliefs. This big B right here is beliefs. Let's just go ahead and write that word. And this is in the book. Every time I say that, I mean, go buy a book. But if you just don't like taking the notes, you don't have to take notes on anything I put on the board today if you don't want to. Okay. T, F, A, thoughts, feelings. These are much fatter than what I usually write with. This is very interesting. And action. I notice I'm writing kind of sloppy. Maybe I'll catch on here. Okay. This has everything to do with how the rest of this goes. Like, if I believe I'm going to crash if I get on an airplane, my thoughts are, it's not happening. Okay? Now, if I believe flying's just fine like I do now, I'm comfortable with it. Somebody, hey, would you like to fly to wherever? I don't care. Yeah, I'd like to fly. I'll get some tickets and let's go. So this has to do with that. Now, if I believe that planes are going to crash, I'm going to trip over that. I know me. I did it in my office already. Mine's shaped just like this, my whiteboard. Look at that. Okay, beliefs, thoughts, these go together. You cannot separate the two. So if your thoughts go with I'm scared of airplanes, I'm scared I'm going to crash, I'm scared of flying, can't do it, not happening, heart rate even goes up. Your thought is certainly, I'm not doing that, I can't do that. Then your feeling is fear and anxiety. What's your outcome? You don't fly. You drive everywhere, or you just don't go. So you cannot separate these, okay? This is a very basic cognitive behavioral concept that goes with everything. Now, when my mind got free from that belief, when God crammed me on that airplane and made me fly to Indiana, it changed it. My belief changed. It's okay now. I trust him. Was I not trusting airplanes? Think about that. Was it airplanes or God I was hung on? It's both. When this changed, I was relaxed, and now I flew. Do you see? You just can't separate the deal. And if I believe that people are going to laugh at me everywhere I go, if I have social or that I'm not going to fit in, or they're going to think I'm weird, then I'm not going to go mix. I'm going to believe that there's something. This got a couple of beliefs. First of all, that all people would act that way. You have a belief about how people act built into that one. You also have a belief, a low self-esteem kind of thing happening in there, an insecurity going on in your belief system. Therefore, your thoughts are, I can't do that. That'll be too uncomfortable. Your feeling is anxiety, fear, insecure, you know, just discomfort of, you can put any word you want to with it. Therefore, your action is to avoid and not go. And ladies, I'm telling you, avoidance with anxiety, that's the devil. Your world will get smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller. It can get so small, it's called agoraphobia. Oop, I touched it. It's called agoraphobia, which means you don't go out and you stay home. I know a lady that's been in her home now for 11 years. She has not come out. And people bring her groceries. She talks to doctors on the phone if she gets sick. She has not been out of her home for 11 years. She let it win. She says she's a Christian. I'm not saying she's not. She cannot cross over that. I've had about eight phone sessions with her. No progress. I'm sorry to say, no progress. Yet she agrees with everything you say. That's convenient, but she's not changing, and it makes me very, very sad. She's a prisoner to anxiety. Okay, so thoughts, excuse me, beliefs, thoughts, feelings, actions. We're going to jump to depression now. Now, you say, where's the treatment? I'm going to put them together. Okay, I'm going to put answers and tools together. Depression, simple definition of depression. It's a condition of the brain and the nervous system that causes a loss of both pleasure and interest in life. It's usually characterized by sadness, pessimism, hopelessness. However, depression is more than just a change in emotions. It's a real medical illness, and anxiety also can be a medical illness. People that say, oh, shape up. Well, you can't shape up out of your diabetes. So we're going to talk medications, and I can't wait to talk to you about that. Some people go, well, maybe not. I hope not after we talk about it. However, depression is more than just a change in emotions. It's a real medical illness with physical symptoms such as disturbed sleep, loss of appetite, change in weight, decreased energy, slowness, difficulty focusing, just great sadness. I call it living gray sky. Today looks like depression to me. I'm very visual. You can't tell it by my work, but I promise you I am. That looked like depression to me out there today. And actually, the weather, we'll talk about seasonal affective disorder, that actually can affect people. So listen, depression's a brain response. It's a sadness. And sometimes, you know, just having a blue day or being sad about something is not the same as depression. That word's thrown around a great deal. But it's when there's a greater or more prolonged than you would think would be warranted by a situation, this response is just heavier and darker and longer than, oh shoot, the movie was full and we didn't get to see the movie, I'm bummed. That is not depression. But you ask a teenager, they think it is. Well, yeah, it doesn't take much to give them great depression. But they can pop right back out of it too when they can see the movie 2 hours later. Clinical depression. Let's talk about some details about depression. Clinical depression, it's a depression that can be quite severe, but it can also be moderate and mild. And it's where that reaction to unfortunate circumstances or a chemical change in the brain, all kinds of things, genetics, same, just like anxiety, genetics as well, where that reaction is more intense or prolonged and you can't seem to kick it. And that's the deal. It's like, I'm down and I can't see it. You can often, something's unfortunate, makes you sad, but it lasts a day or two or you get over it. This is the stuff you can't shake, okay? And you know that. A lot of you know what depression is, and it certainly can be hereditary, caused by situations and so forth. Clinical depression is like, it can be mild, moderate, or severe. Most of the things you look up about clinical depression will immediately use the words major severe depression. Well, if it's caused by genetics, what if the genetic level is mild? So it can be mild. And I say that mostly from what I've worked with for 20 years now and watched what I've watched and done some of my own experience with it. I have to tell you, when my husband left me and the children, I wasn't real happy about that. And I had trouble shaking it. He didn't come back. So I went into a depression. It was a situational depression. And as I began to strengthen and survive, and it took me about 2 years to pull it, stop crying. I mean, I did ugly. I cried. I couldn't pull it together. I did learn never to give another human being that much power in my life. Learned a lot of great lessons for that. That's another talk. But, I came out of it. The situation, the grieving, the loss, the pain, the rejection, the betrayal, all that, those pieces. How am I going to feed the kids? I mean, just all that junk. It began to right itself. The situation changed. And my depression went away. Because mine was totally situational. Possible causes of depression. Thyroid issues. There was a man in my office one time acting just like a fruitcake. But for week after week, and he was just negative. And ridiculously, he was unreasonable. And I'd known him for a long time. I thought, you know what? Go have your thyroid checked. He did. That's what it was. It was. It just didn't quite fit my little views of depression. It just wasn't making sense. Okay, thyroid issues. Sleep apnea or sleep deprivation. Sleep deprivation can absolutely take you down. Substance abuse. chronic pain, PMS, fibromyalgia, loss, grieving. I just always pause on that one. That one's so hard. That is so hard when you lose a loved one, a good friend, a family member, a child. Difficult, disappointing life circumstances. Yay, howdy. Who hadn't had those? And you may have gotten sad. You may have gone all the way to depression. All are normal. Now, there's another kind. Your own brain biology. You may not have a negative, disappointing circumstance. It may not be genetics. Your brain just may go, here's that noise again. What? One of my children had that. It's called endogenous depression. It's where your own biology just does something and things change. And she had that real bad. Here's what happens. Whichever kind of depression it is, there are three main neurotransmitters that get involved in this. Remember, it was GABA and serotonin with anxiety. This one's a little bit different. It is serotonin, but it's serotonin, dopamine, and norepinephrine. Those are the ones that dysregulate in the brain. It can be one or all. And they all are kind of friends. They work together. But it can be more one than the other. I want to talk real quick about 10 types of depression. I'm not going to camp on each one, camp on two or three of them. But listen to this. Some of these you're going to go, I didn't know that was depression. First of all, just plain old major depression, the one we're talking about. Where you're very low mood, ongoing loss of interest in your normal activities, sense of hopelessness, despair, other debilitating symptoms or life-changing symptoms. Now, any clinical book you look at says those symptoms have to last at least 2 weeks or longer. And I wouldn't disagree with that. Let's say you feel like all that, but you pop right back out of it. That was probably not a diagnosable major depression. That is just not that. But this ongoing business that you can't snap out of, okay. Grieving can hit like that, but that doesn't mean you're in a major depression. You're in a major sadness. When my dad died suddenly years ago, I've lost 2 grandchildren. Let me tell you what. But I didn't go into major depression. I went into major sad, crying, regular stuff. Okay? But it can certainly last more than 2 weeks. I assure you I didn't quit crying over those grandbabies in 2 weeks. And does it mean you'll be diagnosed with major depression if you have that? No. Grieving, and a normal, healthy grieving, which can last a year, 2 years. I mean, it can last quite a while. Now, when you come in my office and you're 10 years old and your mommy told me that I think my child's depressed. What is going on? She says, well, he'll tell you. So he told me. He said, well, my grandmother died. I thought, oh, bless your heart. Now, he's 10. And his puppy ran away. Uh-oh. These difficult things are piling up for a child. And children don't normally have the tools to deal with some of these things. And one of his friends moved away. Real close buddy. I thought, bless your heart. This is a pile of hard things. So then I went back to the details. Well, when did Grandma die? Well, Mama said when I was 3. What? When did your puppy run away? Mama said I was the same right after Grandma died because they got me a puppy because Grandma died and then the puppy ran. Kid didn't remember this stuff. His mama's depressed. And she was pouring it on him. That's what that was. It's when those where counselor smells a rat. And Mama wasn't ready to come and admit and talk about she was something was holding her back. And so I told her, I said, I'm not convinced your child's depressed, but I want to talk to you. And got her in and things have straightened up. But that just all kinds of stuff. They're all aspects of a person's life are affected with depression. You all know this. Professional and social relationships, your work or school, your sleep, your eating, your hygiene, your general thinking, your energy, your focus, everything gets overshadowed by I don't feel like the same, a hopelessness, a worthlessness, even false guilt. It's very dark sky. Another type, one type, major depression. Another type is dysthymia. It's a low to moderate, long, ongoing depression, not near as severe as the major depression. Some people actually have had it their whole lives and don't know it. I was at a conference with a counselor we were just having the best time. I was having a great time. And somebody told something funny. Ha, 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 ha. I laughed. And I eat my food. And my counselor friend who I was rooming with, I noticed she never laughed. She just wanted to go back to the room all the time. And here's where it busted. We're back in the room, and she said, I want to talk to you about something. I said, okay. She said, why did you laugh at the table when they told that? I said, because it's funny. She said, well, I see no humor. And it dawned on me. I'd been with her for 4 days, and I realized she hadn't seen humor in anything. And I'm sorry, you can't be around me very long without something funny happening. I'm sorry. So I said, listen, let me ask you a question. And I started questioning this counselor. She had dysthymia. She didn't even know it. And so, because she'd had it, you know, she didn't have anything to compare it to. She said, and here's what I knew. She said, well, I've been this way my whole life. I said, I'm not, this is not a criticism. Please take this. This is a love. I think you need to go to a doctor and talk to him. And it was dysthymia, and she's got treatment for it now. And she didn't see it in her own herself. She was so busy helping other people, she missed her own deal. That's interesting. Another type of depression is the depression that comes in bipolar, the mania and the depression. So that's just another type, and it's strictly called bipolar depression. Another type, psychotic depression. Psychosis is when you lose touch with reality, but depression can get that bad. Atypical depression. Anytime you see the word a or ah in front of something, that means the opposite. In other words, this is not a typical depression. Not, it's called NOS, not otherwise specified. It's just, and you think, why aren't you talking about it? Because there's a 50,000 million different ways it could be. That it's just, it has to be diagnosed by somebody. Seasonal affective disorder, type number 6, SAD, S-A-D, seasonal affective disorder. It's a seasonal pattern of depression linked to light exposure. People in Alaska, where it's sometimes ought not live up there if you have that kind, you know. I went to Boston a few years ago with my family. Instead of Christmas, we decided to put any money that we would do on tree and presents into a trip. This is before all my kids are married now. This is before anybody got married. It was going to be our last year to do the family thing. We went to Boston, and this lady said, I wish I could talk Boston. I can't. But she said, y'all, she didn't say y'all. You must not be from around here, however she talked. And we're all ordering that lobster and all that stuff. And I said, no. She said, well, what do you plan to see? Oh, well, we're going to go do this, and we're going to do this, and we're going to do this. And she said, you going to do it in the dark? What do you mean? She said, it gets dark here at 4 o'clock. We had to change all of our plans. And that bummed me out. I don't have SAD, but it sure made me change my plans. And I could get SAD if I lived in a place like that where the day is about that long. So in the wintertime, another type of depression, you all know this one, postpartum depression, very normal. I had a little bit of that on one of mine, but that can be severe where the mother and the child don't even bond. I mean, that can be extremely severe. Then the mother feels guilty. I don't love my child. What's wrong with me? Then there's premenstrual dysphoric disorder. Yuck. It absolutely can slam a person down to the way that they don't want to live till the next day, just for a week, a month. Then hang on, lady. You know, it can be treated, by the way. All of these can be treated. Endogenous depression, that's that depression can get extremely severe. We almost lost one of our children over this one, but Jesus. She's fine now. She's 28, lives in Seattle, Washington, with her Amazon husband. But I'm concerned about her because it's a kind of gray over there. And we've talked about that, and she's living ungray. She's living ungray. But there's an extreme sadness can come with that, and it's produced out of your own biology. This last one's interesting. I have never seen a case of this, but you might have. Catatonic depression. That's a depression where the person most of the time is motionless and speechless. They are like trapped inside this very dark, alone world. And that I've read about it. I've studied it in school. It's very sad. But the person can also kind of bust out of it for a moment, has some very awkward, fast movements, so it's not total catatonic state. But I had not actually heard about that one. That comes with extreme negativism, a refusal to eat and drink. I mean, they're really shut down. It's very serious. And they just have a great deal of difficulty just doing life. Very serious. But of course, let's get them some treatment. Let's get help. Symptoms of depression. We're going to do this real fast. Said a bunch of them already. An enduring sadness, a loss of interest in many activities, irritability, isolation, withdrawal, loss of energy and fatigue, disturbed sleep pattern, too much sleep or insomnia, either way, a change in appetite, decreased eating, or eating, kind of an emotional. Now, not all emotional eating is this. There's a lot of emotional eating that goes on in this room. Me too. Doesn't mean you're depressed. Okay. Decrease in ability to focus and concentrate, crying. Now, there's 3 levels of crying with depression. Being so numb you can't cry, but you feel like it. Crying for no reason and you can't seem to stop. You go, why are you crying? I don't know. Just, you know, or crying for a reason, but you can't turn it off. You can't seem to quit. Some people kind of have a weepiness. They don't bust into full-blown crying. There's just a little weepiness. Or some people tell me they're crying on the inside, especially men. That breaks my heart when the men come in and go, "You've been crying?" They go, "No, yes, no, yeah." What? Oh, I go, "Crying on the inside?" They go, "Yeah." So indecision, an unusual anger. I see that a lot. Forgetting a lot. If that was the only criteria, I would be in a deep depression. Okay. Self-loathing. A self-loathing is really sad. Feeling guilty and worthless. Now then, there's some symptoms that are a little different. Self-harm. It's called SIV, self-inflicted violence, like cutting, burning, scraping. There's all kinds of things like that. But self-inflicted violence is knocking down a fifth of vodka every day, too. That's self-inflicted problem. And then just a general not caring about anything. Here's my big one as a therapist. You won't find this in a book unless you get mine. No, I'm just kidding. I don't even know if this is in there. The big one, I ask everybody, have you lost the ability to feel joy? Not about happiness. Have you lost the ability to feel joy over the things that normally you attribute joy to? And if they didn't tell me they have all any of those others, and they answer yes to that one, my radar goes up. If something steals what I call your mojo, especially as a believer, steals your joy, what could possibly do that? Stuff that's off in here. Okay. I won't go into a difference I have a note up here in red. Hang on. What does this say? Oh, yeah. Kids that will come in and tell me, and I already alluded to this, Miss Robbie, my joy, I can't. I'm just so down. What happened? Well, this weekend, I went with a bunch of friends to see a movie. It was sold out. And they all went home, and I didn't have anything to do Friday and Saturday. I go, "Aunt? Well, do you think I need medicine?" No, I want to say, I think you need some emotional intelligence. That's what I want to say. Kids are so squishy. But so are a lot of people. I mean, they just fall apart over stuff. I'm giving a talk at my church tomorrow night on squishy people. That don't seem, people, have you forgotten who God is and how you're supposed to depend on Him and let Him be your strength and your joy and your power and your overcomer and everything? Yes, we have forgotten. A lot of us have. Or we use Him when He's not an ATM. I need God's strength today. But tomorrow I'm just going to fall apart and be in despair. I know that sometimes with depression and anxiety, you cannot help it. I know that. That is not a criticism of those of you that fall apart. I have fallen apart before, and I allow myself to do so. But I don't hang curtains in there. I don't stay there. Don't move in furniture. Let's remember who our God is and that great strength. Depression is a fruit thief. Love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, self-control. It'll steal every one of them. Depression's so ugly. It'll also take your logic and your motivation, not fruit. Those are not fruits. But it'll take it all. So if your fruit bowl is low, it could be depression. What's the treatment for depression? Well, psychotherapy, counseling, group or individual. I think group therapy is so powerful. I love group therapy. I would like to start some groups in some churches, just to be honest with you. All of my counseling is individual. And honestly, because I've gotten so busy, I don't have time now for the group thing. But, you know, God will rearrange that if He wants it rearranged. Exercise is extremely important. You don't come into Robbie Sherrill's office and say, "I think I need medication." And you might. But I ask you, how are you eating? How are you sleeping? What are some of your habits? Do you exercise? And when you tell me all that's off, we're not talking medication. Till you start doing and let this body do what it can do. Because you wouldn't believe what good exercise does for depression and anxiety. It's a natural serotonin booster. And it is, I'm just telling you, it's amazing. Some people do the acupuncture thing. I'm not big on sticking pins in people. But I'm just joking. Some people tell me it's amazing. I'm not knocking it at all. I don't know anything about it. I've seen it and it looks, ow. But they say it's not. They say it's not. Here's my favorite. Spiritual focus. Prayer. Meditation, thinking on these things, thinking on the truths of things, journaling. Let me tell you something awesome about journaling. We'll just do it this way. Where's my eraser? Here. That's so cool. Who thought of that? That reminds me of the Jetsons. I mean, this is just, anyway. Well, I just aged myself, didn't I, when I said that. If y'all don't know who the Jetsons are, come see me later and I'll tell you. Anyway, were, who the Jetsons were. I got to do this. I'm not used to that fancy thing. So what were we talking about? Hang on. Thank you. Hang on. So I had a little girl in my office. She was the next day going to have her leg removed. She had osteosarcoma. Well, she was scared, you reckon? She was 10 years old. She's now headed to the Olympic basketball team for paralegal. So anyway, so her name started with this letter. And God's name starts with this letter, okay? I said, sweetie, I want you to write out. And she said, we did this on paper. She said, God, I'm scared. Of course, he knows. But I played God. Y'all forgive me for that. But I played God that day. It's powerful. And I said, what are you scared of? She said, well, I'm having my leg cut off tomorrow. So we did BG. And he goes, I know, and I'm going to be with you every second. But what if people stare at me? We just went on. We did 6 or 7 pages. I started on the board. No one knows. So we just went to paper and made copy for her. She took it to her surgeon because let me tell you how it ended. At the bottom, with her going, thanks, God, I feel so much better. I know you're going to be with me every second. You have a plan. I must not need 2 human legs. Yeah, see this girl. 3 years ago, I mentioned the migraines. I have bad arthritis. I've already had 2 joints cut out of my hands and replaced. I don't know that if I'd gone gluten-free much earlier, that would have changed. Nobody in my family has arthritis. I got to do my own little endogenous, I don't know where it came from. Anyway, there again's my miracle. They took ligaments out of my arms and rolled them up and nailed them in my hands till they grew into new joints. Have you ever heard of that? How cool is that? Now here's funny. Your brain didn't make that ligament to move your thumb. It made it to do whatever it does in arms. So for a while, my brain had to learn that ligament doesn't live there anymore. It does this. And it took about a year to get it running on the doing this, but I can, and I couldn't do that before. It was very cool, but let me tell you what I learned. I heard on the radio a guy named Dr. David Perlmutter. He wrote a book called Grain Brain, and he kept mentioning migraines. I will buy anything that talks about how to fight migraines. So I bought that book, and it talked about so much more. He mentioned arthritis. He mentioned psoriasis. He mentioned your hair falling out. I'm telling you all my secrets. When you're my age, I'm 63. I'll be 64 very soon. So I had this big old bald spot that, you know, if you comb it over, I could do the comb over, you know. So can a lot of people. They can become president. Anyway. Anyway, watch out. I bought the book. I bought the book, Grain Brain by David Perlmutter. And it talks so much about aging and diabetes leading to Alzheimer's. And I thought, ooh, I'm getting old. I better read that. I'm going to tell you what. I quit eating all gluten and sugar. I think sugar's from the devil. Migraines slowed by 60%. My hair grew back, all of it. The psoriasis stopped, and I don't hurt anywhere anymore. I mean, healed of that. I do give God the credit for that, mind you, not Dr. David Perlmutter, but I really do believe there's a big deal about what you put in your body. He did design us a certain way, and he made a whole plethora of things to put in it, and there's a whole bunch of junk you shouldn't put in it. I'll just leave it at that. Do what you want to do with that, but I think it has everything also to do with anxiety and depression. I really, really do. If you're not a believer in that, that's okay. Try it for 30 days and see what happens. I think you'll like it. You can go for 60. And by the way, you'll become a new shape, too. You will. And I don't know many women that don't want to become a new shape. So, Satan is clearly against our God, the Creator, and what he's created. That was you. And especially if you align with that God. If you don't align with that God, he's already got you. He's not going to pick on you too much. But if he doesn't have you, pick. Anxiety and depression are 2 of them. Just don't ever forget that Satan hates our king. Something I want you to remember. Like I just said, Satan hates our king. But God has no rival. Let me say that again. God has no rival. You can get caught up in your mess. You get caught up in your struggles. I believe we are wired for strength because of He who lives in us. We are wired for Him. We are wired for His victories. We are wired for hope and joy. Satan is the wire clipper. Cut the wires, cut the wires. But the only, Satan's not the only wire cutter. We are. When we have this strength and the holy God that we don't use, we'll clip our own wires. I get out our cute little pink wire cutters and go, I don't feel like it. Listen, you can't serve two gods. I thought it was John 6:24, then that verse talking about money. Can't serve God and money, but I'm going to rewrite that. No, I'm just kidding. Here's the deal. When you get up in the morning, let's say you do battle depression, anxiety, migraines, your hair's falling out, whatever's going on with you. Don't make horizontal decisions. Don't lay there in bed and be like, I can't. Well, get up. Quit thinking when you're laying down. You don't ever make any good decisions when you're laying flat like that. Don't make horizontal decisions. I got these, seriously, I have these kids, all these high school kids I work with who never make it to either, it's called home, I don't know, they still have homeroom, homeroom or first period. When did you decide that?
When I was laying in bed.
Well, nobody thinks straight when they're laying flat all warm and snuggy. And you're tired and droopy and you know, get up. And then decide if you're going to school or not. But by then your mama saw you and you're out the door. So don't make horizontal decisions. But you ladies, don't make horizontal decisions about the rest of your day. If you open your eyes and you're feeling lousy and your heart's already pounding and you have that fear and that worry and that junk, goodness gracious, get up and fight. Sling a rock. David and Goliath. You cannot serve two masters. Don't serve given in is what I mean. When I say don't serve two masters, don't let the anxiety and depression win. Now, I do know that some anxiety and depression is so fierce that what I'm saying right now is a little bit offensive, and I have a tremendous heart of compassion for that. That stuff will throw you down. And I do know that. My child, I didn't think she was going to live. We used to sit outside her bedroom door at night and just put her hand on the door and pray she would live through the night. I know what bad depression is. She didn't speak for 2 years. She was almost in that catatonic depression I mentioned earlier. I didn't know it had a name like that. I just knew it had stolen my child. She got healed. Now, 4 years of medication and a lot of work and a lot of therapy and a lot of praying, a lot of crying. And she still battled some, but it hasn't stolen her anymore. She's busted out of it. I asked her one day after she'd begun to come out of it. She even had the inability to see color. Everything was gray or white or black. And she's an artist. What's her gift is art. Oh, I wish I had thought of this. There's no way I can do it, I don't think. To show you, if I held up a picture, could you see it? I want to show you something. What Satan tried to steal. I didn't think of this till now, so we'll see how this works. Excuse me 1 second. This is worth it. Ah, whoops. Oh, we just flashed back to 2014. How did that happen? I'm just so duh. Let me try it again. Well, there's that cool hawk that came to my yard. Let's see. Okay, here we go. Is this possible? Okay. That's, I don't know what kind of flowers they are. Oh, that's not, you're not going to get to, if you want to see this afterwards, come see this. This is what Satan tried to steal from her. This is a 30 by 30 canvas. She sent it to me for Christmas, which means I got it last week. And she's the one in Seattle. I'm sorry that you can't see that better. It is just breathtaking. And when the depression was going on in her life, she drew pictures of a hand with a razor blade in the other hand. I have a book of those. And she was slicing herself to pieces. He tried to take my child. He's trying to take some of you. It may not be that dark and that hard, but that's how he works. And one day, this is hard to tell. I'm not even in my notes, but I just felt like I was supposed to tell this. I didn't know if she's going to make it or not. Neither did the doctors. We had been to the psychiatrist for 7 months. Them work, trying this, trying that. Nothing worked. Why with all my clients does their medication work in about 3 weeks? Exactly what she said. It usually does, 3 to 4 weeks, some people 2 weeks. Some people call me the day after that first pill and go, I feel awesome. I thought, no, you don't, but it's okay. That's a placebo effect you're having, but I don't tell them that. And I love it that they think they feel awesome. Yay. Well, it didn't work for my child. Why not? And she continued to cut and to cut and to cut. And it was just awful. She had to wear a wedding gown where the lace was up to here and real thick on her arms so nobody could see it. That was a hard day. That was hard picking that out. But anyway, one day upstairs, I hear she's upstairs getting ready for school, and I heard crash. I knew the rope had broken. I knew that she had hung herself and it was over. I ran up those stairs so fast. I mean, I don't even know if I touched the carpet. And I got up there and I threw open that bathroom door, and she's standing there wrapped in a towel picking up her hair dryer. And she said, what? You know who Satan had, don't you? Her mama. That's the day I said at the top of those stairs, close that bathroom door, sorry. She had dropped her hair dryer. That's what the crash was. Oh my gosh, where was my mind? He had me in darkness and hopelessness and fear. And I sat at the top of those stairs and I went, that's it. I am done with this. You can't have me anymore, and you're not taking my baby. And that was the day it turned. Now, she didn't turn. She didn't get better for a long time, but I did. I began to trust the one who could change it. And that was all the difference. And if they said, Robbie, stop talking, leave. That's what I want you to know. You got to trust the one who can change it. When you wake up in the morning, do not give in to the creep. You got to sling a rock. You be David. By the way, in my office, I give rocks. And those of you who come to see me, you've seen those rocks. I do collect rocks. I love them. God is my rock. And you know, if we get quiet, those rocks are going to cry out. I don't ever want to hear a rock singing. And they better not. Anyway, I almost brought y'all rocks. But I didn't. So anyway, because I had boxes of other things I brought. I do have something for you at the end. It is not a rock, but it is something else. Okay. We are hardwired to be healthy. Stop clipping your wires with lies. I'm about to go into the action part up here. We're going to talk medications, and I'm going to go into the counseling drawing part, okay? But you have got to stop clipping your wires with lies. You just stop it. Sometimes people come to me and they tell me they're daddy, 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 and I'm listening, and I love them, and I'm listening, and they say, what should I do? And I go, stop that. Sometimes it's just, goodness gracious, stop that. Then we make a list of the things that they need to stop doing. Here's one of those cases. This little 29-year-old gal, she was in nursing school. She was going to graduate from nursing school in 6 months, and she was already a kind of a tightly wired, anxious little girl. And she said to me that day in that session, she started to cry right off the bat. I always pray in the beginning of session, and she was boohooing before I finished praying. And she said, I said, what's the matter? She said, I just don't know where I'm going to get a job. She was doing her hands just like this. I just don't know where I'm going to get a job when I graduate. Okay. She said, but I have to know. And she said it four times. I have to know. I have to know. And she's hitting my couch, and those little legs are kicking. And I thought, goodness gracious, honey. She's having a meltdown is what she was having. And she said, she finished it with, God has got to tell me right now. I thought, well, how's that working for you? But I said, what are you doing? What are you doing? And she's just sobbing and kicking my couch and hitting my poor little couch. Actually, it was my old couch. I had to get a new one, but not because of her. An NFL football player broke my couch. Big guy. Anyway, they don't listen very well. Anyhow, well, here's what's fun. They walk in. Do you know who I am? No. I say, do you know who I am? They go, no. We're even. I don't know. These athletes, I have worked with a lot of professional athletes, and they are something. And they think they are something, too. So this little gal, she's just having a fit. And I'm saying, sweetie, how's that technique working for you? And she's real quiet, and she's crying quietly. I said, okay, listen. Blow your nose. I'm going to go make us a cup of tea. You come to see me, you get tea. Everybody gets tea. We just drink tea if you want tea. And I said, listen here. I counted the lies. She said, what lies? I said, four of these, I have to know. That's a lie. You don't have to know anything except that. And God has to tell me right now. Really? Since when do we push him around and give him our timetable? That's not going to work. That's not going to work. So I began to work with her and say, honey, here's your deal. You're stuck. You are stuck in fear and worry. One of my favorite counseling words is stuck. I don't like the psychobabble. As you can tell, I use very little of it. I use a lot of ain'ts and a lot of throw rocks, and we're not having that, and how's that working for you? That kind of thing. Well, so here's what I showed her. I have these little cards. They're the size of playing cards in my office. I figured those would be too small, so I made new ones. Mine are colors. I hope this isn't important. No, it's not. don't worry. It's okay. It's wadded up tape. It's okay. Okay. Now, here's the deal. Just checking. So I brought big ones. This is just construction paper. I believe that we all have what I call purple card. Purple in the Bible stands for royalty. I belong to this man, this guy, this God, this awesome. I have him on me at all times. He lives in me. This is him in me, on me, okay? This is 24/7. This can't leave ever. Guess what shows up on occasion? You know who this stands for. Okay. I have a choice to make. He makes me an offer. He goes, hey, Robbie, or hey, little nurse lady, why don't you throw a fit and tell God he has to tell you what to do? I have a choice at all times. Hey, ladies, believe the lies of Satan. Believe these fears. Believe these worries. Believe the about your self-worth, that you're nothing, you're ugly, you're stupid, you're fat. Believe whatever the junk, and we could stand here all day and I could do, what's your lie, what's your lie, what's your lie, what's your lie? We could just go, and then I would actually tell you mine. I have some too, and I have to fight them. Here's the deal. I have a choice. I have my Lord, my truth, my God, that loves me, approves of me beyond my comprehension. Then this flies by. Hey, can I pull you off that track for a minute? And it's kind of like, now let's see here. Let me pick. God's truth and love and wonderful freedom and joy and strength. Or this. It'll wreck my day. Let me pick. I think I'll pick this. And people do this. We do this. Why do we do that? This applies to my people that are addicted to shopping, alcohol, porn, cutting, whatever. Here we are. I'm all good. I've got, hey, you want to cut? Yeah. What? Here. Hey, do you want to have low self-esteem today and not go because you think the other ladies will think you're... Yeah. Why? Why? Listen to this scripture. 1 Corinthians 10:13. Notice when this flies by, this is temptation. This is accusation and deception. Temptation. 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. So you're not the only one hurting like this and being attacked. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. What? Don't ever tell me there's any... I can't help it. I'm sorry, you don't say that in my office. Well, you do, but I fix it. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with that temptation, it's coming. Not if. When it comes, he will also provide the way of escape so that you can stand up under it. That's a promise. That's not a maybe. You got that? I mean, is there a freedom there or what? You apply that to your anxiety and depression, and don't just think, okay, there she goes. I knew she's going to pull that. If you have more faith thing, you don't need... No, I didn't say that. Sometimes people are so anxious and so depressed, they can't apply truths like this. They need help to get there. And I often have to have my clients get medicated to even get to the point that they can start applying these truths. Okay? And if taking meds offend you, I could say, I'm sorry, but I'm not sorry. You just don't think right. No, I'm scared. No, I'm just kidding. You know I'm kidding with you. But I believe if they're necessary, goodness gracious, I am so grateful that when I was in my 40s, the United States of America finally got what Europe had, migraine medicine. I finally got some relief. I had prayed to die as a child, I don't know how many times. Lord, kill me, because the pain would be so bad I couldn't imagine even living 3 more hours till the thing would lift. Some people have migraines for days. I am grateful for medication, and I believe it comes from a holy God that loves us. I just really do. So... choices with you 24/7. Here comes the creep. Pick one. Okay? All right. Let me see, where are we now? Okay, two big things. Truth, which I hope you're hearing today, and medication. That's the healing, guys. And or. Not everybody needs medication. Some people need it for a very short time. Some people will be on it for the rest of their lives. If you have to be and it helps, thank you, Jesus. If you don't need it, thank you, Jesus. Here's the deal. Let's obey Jesus. Okay? Let's just go with his plan. The way the medication part, and I'll come to the other side, the truth part, and medication is a part of God's truth, in my opinion, if needed. There are natural substances for depression. A couple of them are, and I don't go out and buy this because she said so. These are things that people have told me, their doctors have told them to try, and they've helped some people. One of them is called SAM-E. Don't even know what's in it. So, you know, ask your doctor. Don't just go buy this stuff. It is over the counter. Health food stores. Another one is called 5-HTP. I've had some of my teenage clients put on that by a naturopath, and I've seen really good results with it. 5-HTP. There again, don't you dare go out and buy this stuff without checking with a doctor. Okay? Disclaimer. Are y'all taping this so I can't get sued? Okay. Awesome. Okay. Because I want that bit. I said, do not go out and buy that stuff without talking to a doctor. How do antidepressants work? Let's talk about them. I'm going to read. I couldn't say this as well as this is written, so let's just talk about that for a minute. Antidepressants help your body heal brain cells and replace natural brain chemicals that have been affected by depression, by some of those stressors we've talked about. Depressed individuals have an overactive stress response that damages and kills cells in your brain. Did you know that? When brain cells are damaged, they cannot carry the signals that control your emotions, your thoughts, concentration, appetite, energy, sleep, and behavior. Antidepressants correct this problem in two ways. First, the antidepressants get your body to produce more of its own natural brain healing chemicals. Remember that serotonin, norepinephrine, and dopamine. By increasing the amount of these brain healing factors, antidepressants help repair damaged brain cells. I love that part. And help protect your brain from being damaged in the future so your depression won't return, or if it does return, it can heal quicker. You know that verse, Romans 12:2b, be transformed by renewal of your mind. Gray matter, renewed cells. Oh, cool. Also, new thinking. It means several things. Second, antidepressants help the brain to secrete more natural brain neurochemicals in the gaps between brain cells, so damaged brain cells can fire more easily and work more normally. A little bit of a class, education kind of a thing there, but I just love that description. Or I could have just said this. Here's this deal. Let's just make this little factory. This is oh, that's awful. Anyway, serotonin. Let's just do serotonin. It's made in a little serotonin factory, and it shoots out here, and it's supposed to go down here in your brain and regulate energy and focus and mood and all this stuff, okay? And then it goes back up through the reuptake. Okay, it's supposed to go back in here, and it goes around, and the brain makes more. It's a cycling kind of a thing. This drug's called SSRIs, selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors. Here's your reuptake. It's like a vacuum cleaner. If it's turned on a little too high, it's working a little overactive for whatever reason, the chemicals can't get down here and load up, you know, get everything right where it ought to be at the levels. It sucks it up too fast. Selective serotonin reuptake inhibitor. It inhibits the motion of this reuptake and slows it down so the chemicals have time to get down here and do the job. That's what an SSRI is. You're not taking serotonin. There's no such thing as taking some serotonin. It has to arrange things differently in the brain so the brain can now make more of its own natural or to use more efficiently what it already has. Okay? Just a little school talk. All right. Let me get rid of this because I'm going to need this board a few more times. I should have an eraser person. Okay. Is that just lazy or what? Get an eraser person. Okay. So, I want to, sorry, I got to get every little speck. No, I'm just kidding. But anyway, I'm just kidding. I'm really just kidding. I got it. Okay. No. Okay. Do antidepressants actually heal and replace brain damaged brain cells? It's kind of. They stimulate the production of natural healing and protective biochemicals. So you know what? The answer is yes. They don't just make you feel better while you're taking them. Your brains can actually heal. My daughter is a good example of that. Also, I thank God healed her. But how did he use medication to do it? Partly. Yeah. So, wow. Don't just think. The goal, by the way, if I have a client go to a doctor to get antidepressants, the goal is to get that brain healed, not to just make them feel better for a little while while they're going through something. So when the next hard thing comes, their brain will be stronger and healed, so their brain will be able to withstand the next, you know, punch that it takes. If you say happy pills around me for antidepressants, I slap you. That's not what they are. That's rude. No, they're not happy pills. Please don't call them that. They save lives. And if you're not happy, there's something you need to do about yourself. It's not, happy is circumstantial stuff. If something has stolen your joy, now we're talking, okay? I've never heard them called joy pills, and I don't want to hear them called that. Will depression just go away on its own if I wait long enough? Well, maybe. But depression untreated gets worse. So, you know, give it a little time. Some precious lady came up here and asked me about that. How do I know when to go? How do I know if it's going to let up or not? How long do I wait? If you're trying, a lot of truth, the types of things I'm about to show you here, trying to sling the rock at that creep every day, getting exercise, rest, eating better than probably you were, and things just aren't getting better, that's a signal that you might need medication. But go, I would say, and I'm not trying to do counselor commercials, especially not for this counselor. I have a 4-week waiting list, 4 and 5 at times. So, you know, I'm not doing a commercial for me, I promise you. And I'm going to be retiring before too long. But I believe in God's marching orders. I'm not going to quit counseling. So we'll meet in places. Instead, here's the deal. I'm just not going to pay that rent. I pay $3,000 a month in rent. And that's just dumb. So I'll just meet you somewhere. Anyhow, I'll still take your money, though. No. Retired or not, yeah, you can still pay me. Okay, will depression go away on its own? It might not. If it's not, go talk to somebody that's a professional that understands about it, that knows the next thing to direct you to. Hopefully that will challenge you about your eating, your exercise, all that before they send you to go get medication. But some depression does go away on its own. Some does not. And if it's not going away, there's your signal. Go talk to somebody, okay? Are there any antidepressants that have no side effects? No. There is no medication in the entire world that doesn't have a side effect. That doesn't mean you're going to have that side effect. And very few of my, one patient, and I had to figure this out for my doctorate, I have had 41,000 sessions. That made me tired when I figured that out. One man, one session in all this time, he was put on a medication and it made him angry. I've had one question, client have a negative disturbing side effect. Now I had to take Zoloft when menopause came. My brain went like this: everything's cool, I hate you. But I'm not that kind of person. I actually one day in one of my I hate you days, for no reason, I'm like, what? I don't hate you, but I felt like I did. And I planned to close my, in one day, I cried and cried and cried, which is not like me. That day, when my brain wasn't working right, apparently I had some kind of serotonin dump or something, I planned to close my practice just that day. Just go put a sign on the door. I quit. Leave my family. I'm serious. This is wackadoodle is what you call this. I was going to get on an airplane. I must have been flying by then. I go to Arizona. I don't know anybody in Arizona. I was just leaving. The next day, I remember going, who was that? That nut was going to go to Arizona and close her practice. I thought, oh, golly, what's wrong with me? So I went to the doctor, and he said, menopause. He put me on, this is a short talk about menopause, wackadoodle. He said, yeah, emotions. I said, well, what was wrong with me? He said, I just told you, menopause. He said, I'm going to put you on the lowest dose of Zoloft. I want you to take it for a year till you get finished with this thing. It was miraculous. I didn't feel like there was any drug in my, all I know was I returned to me. And I never had one of those goofy dumps again. That threw the whole thing. It worked beautifully. Just beautiful. Very, no side, oh, side effect I had, it can make your feet and hands sweat. Ooh, can it ever. For the first month, and I spoke that kind of microphone that you use that you hold, I was speaking at a thing during my first month at Zoloft. Water's dripping off. I thought, gosh, this is embarrassing. And it was one of those panels where you hand the microphone to the next person. And I handed the microphone to the man next to me, and he went. For 1 month, my feet didn't, but my hands sweat. I had another lady walk in that was doing Zoloft. It's very rare for it to be that sweaty. But anyway, she pet on flip-flops in the middle of winter with paper towels in her flip. And she walked in doing this. I said, what are you doing? She said, my feet are sweating so bad. At the end of our session, those things were soaked. I said, do they put you on Zoloft? She said, yep. I said, I promise that'll quit, and it did. But I just want you to know, those are the types of side effects. But is that enough to make you quit taking it because it's helping your depression? No. I'll take sweaty hands and feet for a month. And that's rare. What I just told you was rare. Lexapro hurts the tummy a little bit sometimes. Excellent for anxiety and depression. So go down to the out to your doctor. Cut it in half till your body gets used to it, and then go up to the... There's just all kinds of ways to work out making things workable. Okay, don't not like it the first day because you think you felt a twitch in your brain. Don't stop. I mean, come on, tough up. Okay, where are we? No, okay, they all have side effects, but you won't know about most of them, and they aren't going to hurt you. This business about suicide and side effects, suicide and antidepressants, we'll get to that. Do antidepressant drugs build up in your system over the years until your body's full of toxins? No. There's absolutely no report. We've had antidepressants for over 50 years right now. That precious liver that God, your big filter, takes care of all that. There are no reports of toxin buildup. So when the snake oil people want you to drink this stuff and pay whatever for it to rid the toxins out of your body from those antidepressants you took, don't do it. There are no toxins in your body from antidepressants. Maybe toxins from something else. But don't pay money for that. Do antidepressants cause suicide? No. Let me explain this to you. The use of antidepressants to treat depression has saved hundreds of thousands of lives. I believe that with all my heart. Prozac alone saves about 3,000, I don't know when they came up with this number, about 3,000 lives a year. I don't know when interviewed everybody on that, but anyway, we just know it saves a lot of lives. It can help. When you hear stories about antidepressants that are failing to work, it's because those antidepressants were prescribed for things where antidepressants were never supposed to help to begin with. Like, you never prescribe an antidepressant for bipolar depression. Never. It makes it worse. That is very dangerous. And on and on and on. I'm not a doctor, so I'm going to quit talking about that. But that, if you're taking, some people take an antidepressant for a thyroid issue. You need thyroid medicine for that. Go to good doctors, okay? Go to good doctors. Are antidepressants just a crutch? No, they're a tool. They're a tool of a holy God. Okay, no more about meds, and you may have 1,000 questions. Got to move on to the good stuff. I want to get to the truth part. John 8:32 says, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. We got it. We got to get there to the truth. We got purple card, red card as a tool. I think that's on that sheet I gave you. I'm pretty sure red card. Then we have meds was number two. Let's get down to this stuff. I want to show you some tools that I use in my practice. I'm going to go kind of fast. If you're buying the book, there's no need to write down any of these. They're all in there. If you can't or don't, and by the way, book. Okay, yes, I'm sorry. It's $25. They're very expensive to print like that. I need to find another method so I can bring that price down, but I don't have that method today. If you have a friend here with you, you don't bring check or cash. Maybe your friend could, if you want one, maybe you can just pay her back or something. Or please put your name and phone number on the sheet and I will call you and get a book to you. I have to do that quite often. Please do not take a book if you're not paying for it or your friend's not paying for it, because I'll never see you again and you won't answer your phone. That's what happened last time I did that, and I've learned, don't do that. So, there. Okay, this is called thought buckets. Let me draw my not best friend here. You know who that is. Some people go, oh, it's a cat. No, it's the devil. Okay. So, And I have to draw fast in my office. I do a lot of children, so, you know, you can get with me here. So he says, worry, worry, dread, dread, fear, fear, it's not good, and you just get trapped. Anxiety will do that. Is it working up there? Yeah, okay. So this is an anxiety. This is what anxiety and depression, where the lies, and he only lies, by the way. He doesn't sometimes tell you the truth to trick you. He only lies. There is no truth in him, okay? So here's another, some methods. I usually draw four devils, but I'm just drawing the one today for speed. Here's the deal. So here comes the, no, we got to throw that out of there. No, sir, no trap. Here's how. Prayer, go listen to good music, call a friend, go crochet, go paint, go for a walk, go tell yourself, stop thinking like that. I mean, go do something else, diversion, telling yourself the truth. Telling yourself the truth, doing something else, or doing something else, a diversion, change your activity. Another bucket, this is my favorite bucket right here. So I got to get a little bit rid of this bucket. Okay, so there's the creep. Oh, bucket. So there's the creep. He talked to you, go, no, sir. And you don't even let it go in there. I could smell your lies from a mile off, and you bounce it off the top of that bucket and don't even let it go in. That takes practice. But if he picks on you with the same thing over and over and over, y'all should be smarting up to it. I woke up with that attack again. No, sir, we're not, You're not telling me today that I'm ugly and stupid. Here's one of mine. You're getting old. Nobody wants to talk to you anymore. I had, and you know, he used the cutest little teenager. She came in my office. She sat down and she went, on my couch across from me, she went, how old are you? And I said, well, how old do you think I am? A big mistake. She said, too old. And I said, do you know the definition of rude? We had a rude, and I had her go back out, come back in, and treat me right. In my generation, we just don't, I don't know about the squishy kids, but we don't do that. So, okay, you know squishy kids come from squishy parents, right? That's another talk. Ooh, it's one of my favorite talks. Look out. I do have some boxing gloves in case y'all are wondering. Now, so no, this is not having it. I refute that. I refute you in the name of Jesus Christ. Shut up and leave me alone. Shut up, some of my favorite talk. I have to remember when little kids are in my office not to teach them to shut up. Their mamas don't care for that. And it's not good because they don't know well when to use it. So there you go. There's the bucket thing. Erase time. You know, I really might have anybody want to come erase? It'll save us some time. Anybody? Anybody? Thank you, dear. Would you erase while I start telling them the next one? Because I know what's happening here. See, it says zero. That means I'm supposed to be finished. Is that what that means? 10 minutes? Okay, I'm going to go as fast as I can for this 10-minute thing. Whoever is going to help with handing out the envelopes, the gifts that I brought, start those in 5 minutes, would you? Please don't open the envelope till I ask you to. I'm just doing that for speed. Got that? An envelope's going to come to you. Just hold it. Thank you. You look at that. You go, girl. Okay, this one's called Problem on Problem. I hurt. We live in a sinful world. We all are sinners, thus we hurt. We are fallible. It could be anxiety. It could be depression. It just could be your mama dressed you funny when you were little. It can just be, who knows what it is. But here's what we do. We know we have problems. Maybe you married. Anyway, we got problems. And we respond to those problems, folks. We just respond and respond and respond. Here's what's so sad. We don't respond well. We sometimes, that's not what I want to put up there. Just stop that right now. I want to put this. We can respond, like I mentioned with my daughter. She responded with this and other things. We can respond with alcohol and drugs. Lots of responding. I got a lot of wine drinking women that come in my office that whisper it like, Robbie, I drink 4 glasses of wine every night. And I go, stop it. Okay, but we get down to why. You know, why they're doing that. And they're so ashamed. Bless their hearts. Don't let shame go. Just do something else. Listen, this one. Porn, that's what that says. Shopping. I mean, I can just go on and on and on here. We can just go, well, what's another eating? Goodness gracious, eating or the lack thereof. eating or not eating, just go round and round. We can just go round and round. Golf. I had a man that he probably wasn't, the top paid insurance salesman in the country. He lost his job, got fired, because he moved with his big money. He moved on to a golf course community thing here in Atlanta on the 16th hole, I think he said. It's probably a lie. Anyway, he also told me he had to look at his $280,000 watch. I thought, oh, please. So he got fired for playing so much golf he couldn't quit. He got addicted to it. But he thought it was cool enough to play that much golf. He's probably not even any good. So here's the deal. Problem on problem, what does that solve? If this was your number one problem, whatever was going on here, look what Satan has you go to as a remedy. Those aren't remedies. They're not even coping. They are responses, and they're responses that'll take you down. So now you got two problems. Maybe you got some of that, and maybe you got some of that. Or you can have three, number two. So you don't ever solve number one with one of those number twos. Now you got two problems. You're just in a deeper ditch than you were to begin with. Here's the deal, folks. This is what we solve our problems with. Right here, the cross and the truth that goes there, and learning how to recognize the lies that you'll throw under there, and let the Redeemer change your brain, be transformed by renewal of your mind. Eraser. So that's number. Oh, we got to get some exercise here. I'm sorry. You might want to camp out. Okay, another biggie. Now this one is about what I call emotional intelligence. It's really in the book. It's called. What does that say? Beliefs. Beliefs to outcome. Awesome. I'm going to start up here. This is cool when you just run them right off there. Okay. I'll call you sooner next time. So you'll. Okay, here's the deal. A, triggers. Well, is life not full of those? B, our thoughts. And remember how early I put up beliefs in TFA? This is sort of like that. This is the first drawing I ever drew on my whiteboard in my office. And this is outcome. And that is letter D. We all have triggers. It could have been a flat tire on the way over here. It could have been your husband saying, how long is this thing going to last? You going to get home and do my laundry? No, I'm kidding. I'll tell you what to do with those guys. That's another time. I'm kidding, men. I'm kidding. Okay, so there's that, your thoughts about those triggers, which depending on what you're thinking, if you're telling yourself the truth, you're okay. I'll put that as a positive sign. If you're not, if you're telling yourself a negative, you're going to have a negative. If you're thinking negative, you're going to have negative feelings, and then you're going to have negative outcomes. Like that flying story I told you. Certain beliefs, and flying, that day I had to go to Indiana because they sent me that ticket. Man, was that a trigger. This about made me sick. Once God got my head going right and I was using what I call emotional intelligence, two of my favorite words together, emotional intelligence, everything changed. I had a lady in my office last week with her daughter. Her daughter's getting married. The mother doesn't like the guy that the girl's marrying. The mother could not say an intelligent thing. She was rolling her eyes. She was smirking. Just all kinds of stuff. It was terrible. Erasing. And it was just, I'm sorry, that seems so rude. You're right. do you hire out? Anyway, it was just heartbreaking. I got three more fast drawings, but I'm only going to do two of them because this one of them is sort of like that. This is one of my faves. She's really good at this, isn't she? Okay, thank you. Thank you so much. Now here's one. This is called the committee meeting. This is called the committee meeting. I will abbreviate committee meeting. Now, okay, whose big ugly chair is that at the meeting? Satan's. Whose cute little chair is right across from him? You sit right across from him. I'm just going to make chairs like this for speed. Fabulous. Okay. All right, who's at this meeting? Now, here's where that word is that I wrote a while ago. Confusion, doubt, fear, worry, you get the drift. Dread, low self-esteem. What are you doing in that meeting? Why are you in there? You don't belong in there. You stand, there it is again, on the truths of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's where you say, Lord, get me out of here. You don't entertain this. What are you doing in those meetings? What are you doing in there? Only lies here. You don't belong there. That's not your territory. You weren't designed for that. You have lost your way. And now it's as simple as, Lord Jesus, hold my thoughts captive to you and get out of there. Eraser. Thank you. Thank you. And the last one, powerful. And we're going to, you want to pass out those envelopes? This would be a good time to start the, are they, cool. Okay. Very cool. Hang on to them. We're just wrapping up here. And I apologize. I always run over. I just do. I'm sorry. I really am. All right, last drawing. One morning in my quiet time, I was reading Romans 1:25. And if Anson is within my hearing, I apologize. This is not what this verse means, but I changed it. Okay. I'm kidding. Well, I know I'm not. I did. I know this is sort of out of context, Romans 1:25. I hadn't pulled this at my church. I'm not sure what they'd do. But anyhow, they're pretty stuck on some stuff. No. So here's the deal. Let's make this one. Okay, let me step aside. That's you. There's the other 7 billion people in the world. Who cares about them? No, okay. Here's the deal. Here's what I'll call them. What do they think of me? That's a problem. That's a big problem. Folks, it's not what they think of you. It's what do you think of you? And what did Jesus say about you? And do you align with that? Here's the deal. You are fully approved of. You are fully loved. You are fully accepted. You don't need to change anything for anybody. Just live for him. Here's what this verse says. And they, that'd be you and me, they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served created things rather than God, who is to forever be praised. Now, that's really talking about idolatry. The next verse, he gives them over to their darkness. This one, this is how this hit me that morning in my quiet time. And they worshiped and served and cared too darn much about what other people thought. They worshiped and served created things rather than God, who already fully approved of them, loved them, accepted them. Isn't that enough? So don't hang out. Who cares about? I mean, you wouldn't believe what the squishy kids that I work with, you wouldn't believe what, they're not all squishy. I draw this for them. I go, goodness gracious. This one girl, last story, she went to try out for a singing part at school. She made the part. She had to miss the first practice because she had the flu. She went into the next practice. The other girls knew the song better than her. I'm never going back to school. She wanted to quit school. Seriously? Because she thought what they thought about her. I said, did anybody walk up to you and say, you don't know the song very well? She said, no. We're all right here. I'm like, good night alive. So no. My daddy taught me back in the 1960s, when I used to watch ABC Wide World of Sports with him on Saturday. Love that. Those guys would go down that ski slope and go swish. And then the people at the table would hold up these big cardboard, there were no electronics, would hold up that and score 10, 9, 8, 7, 6. And sometimes it'd be two cards. If 6 and a 5, that meant 6.5. My dad turned to me one day and he said, Roberta Lynn, don't ever repeat that, I'll kill you. Roberta Lynn, don't you ever let anybody give you a scorecard. Jesus Christ has already told you who you are. You are complete. It is paid for. It is finished. Nobody scores you. And I never forgot that. Never forgot that. Sometimes when I speak, people fill out surveys about what they thought of it. I don't ever look at them. I'm not letting you. You can score me all you want to. I don't care. I don't want to know, to be honest with you. But nobody keeps my scorecard. Why do you let people keep your scorecard? You do. Every one of you do somewhere. We all do. Stop it. That's that therapy again. I better stop. We have to stop. So I have more. Sorry. Let's go to the envelope. Open the envelope, please. The envelope. That sounds serious. That's ominous. Okay. Two items. The first one is a blue background. There's a crown. And you know, guess who that came from? Corrie Ten Boom. Do y'all know who that is? I mean, I don't know if that's her needlepoint or not. She said those words. I think that might be her needlepoint. That's very old. I've had that for years. I took a picture of it with my camera phone and made y'all copies. Someday, listen, look at the mess of the one on the right. That's what life feels like. That's what anxiety and depression seem like. That's what, folks, that's now. That's temporary. Flip it. Look at what's on the other side. God knows what he's doing with all this mess. It's perfect and beautiful. And someday, there is a crown. Isn't that just cool? I love that. Look at the second one. This will sound braggy. I don't mean for it to be. I told you I can't draw. This also makes me want to cry. But God taught me how to paint. Suddenly, it came very quickly. He painted that. It came out of my hand, but he painted that. I call it Daughter of the King. Christy Graves, where are you? I can't see you. It's darkness here. Oh, I see something waving its arms. Christy. Christy has on a shirt today that I couldn't believe. It says Daughter of the King. And she had no idea I was bringing these painting copies. These are CVS copies. The original hangs in my home. And I've even sold about 15. Giclée is a professional reproduction. I've sold a bunch of those. But that one, I wanted you to have it. That's who you are. You're a daughter of the King. See? Fully approved, fully loved, fully accepted. You're a daughter of the King. Do not let anxiety and depression and the lies that go with it tell you anything else. You fight this thing. You fight it with truth. You fight it with counseling who can help you with truth and determine if you need medication for help. But you fight this thing. You fight the stigma of the shame. You fight the lies from the past that are trying to hold you down from whatever happened to you or that you perceive has happened to you. You fight the lies of the enemy. I think I'm finished. I think that's all. The end.